I'm Peter Bonner McNiss, and he is Chris Lane. And welcome to another of these regular property briefings. And a warm welcome to you, Chris.
Well, it's good to be here with you again.
You know, there is something I find rather puzzling. How do purchasers work out what the precise true net operating income from a property will be?
Well, this is clearly something you need to know whenever you start out on any commercial property purchase, but you might be surprised to hear that there are generally four different net operating incomes, and I'm sure we can cover that as we go through. However, before I do that, what you need to have a clear understanding of is the actual process of calculating a net operating income. You see, this is the point from where all decision-making takes place, and it's important that you can base those decisions on hard numbers, not some fond hope of what might someday be achieved.
So, where do you actually begin?
Well, obviously the place to begin is with your gross rental figure. Now, it's from that figure that you need to add the various other related income, and this might include any outgoing reimbursements by the tenant. It might involve car parking fees, plus there may even be certain license for storage areas, or Telecom may be paying for a mast on the top of the building. You know, there are always some add-ons other than the main rent being paid by the tenant that occupies, or tenants that occupy the building. Now, from that total, you then subtract any vacancies that might be about to occur, which will provide you with your effective gross income. Now, from that, you subtract the building operating expenses, which, depending on the building size, could include things like lift maintenance and security over and above the normal day-to-day expenses. Now, you see, if you've got a number of tenants, they may be operating under net leases, and therefore you need to start with a gross rental and then work backwards from there.
Tell me, how does that work in practice?
Okay, now that we've established the process, let's perhaps take a look at a quick example of how to explain the difference between the various net operating figures. Generally, the seller has two different net operating income. Firstly, there's the net operating income of the year just past, and the other one is what selling agents tend to refer to as the pro forma net operating income for the next period. Now, in most cases, the current net operating income can be ignored because it will have had some specific expenses removed by the seller, being those expenses which are not considered relevant to owning and managing the property. And the seller's pro forma net operating income is what will typically be included in the marketing material, with obviously exaggerated rentals, through making the assumption that all vacancies will be fully occupied. And sometimes they might even take into account some upcoming rental reviews and talk about an overall potential net operating income.
What about you as the purchaser?
Well, in a similar way, you as the purchaser should create two different net operating incomes before buying the property. The first one will be your modified version of the seller's actual net operating income, with the appropriate adjustment to reflect expenses such as repairs and outgoings, management fees, vacancies, in accordance with your strategies and objectives, things that may well have been neatly removed from what the vendor through his agent is wanting to let you have. Now, your second net operating income is your pro forma net operating income, and that's based on your leasing and management objectives over the next 12 months. So that you now have four figures to choose from on which one you'll be basing your decisions going forward. That's the question. Now, both your net operating incomes are important. However, your pro forma one is the one you should use to determine your final purchase price by applying the appropriate capitalization rate for the property in question. And that may take a little bit of research to find out what that is. So you establish what is a realistic, that's your pro forma, expectation of net operating income going forward, and it's against that that you apply that capitalization rate. Now, as you'll appreciate, your modified net operating income for the current year reveals what the real income, operating expenses, and therefore the true net operating income is, as if the property were being operated by you. Now, invariably, your pro forma net operating income will be significantly less than the seller's pro forma net operating income due to more conservative and realistic assumptions looking forward. Whereas the seller's pro forma version is always based upon ambitious leasing expectations, full occupancy, and quite often unrealistically low expenses.
Is it possible to put some numbers beside all of this?
Okay, that's a good idea. Let's explore this example perhaps in a little more detail. So what we're going to look at is the various net operating incomes which result in the prices being sought by the seller and the price able to be offered by you as the buyer, and in turn what that reflects as a capitalization rate. So far as the seller presents them, his net operating income calculates out to be, let's say for example, $210,500 per annum, where he has probably stripped out certain outgoings, including paring back the management fee to an unrealistic level. Now, then the seller also takes a bullish view of rentals and leasing prospects over the next 12 months, while maintaining a very conservative view on the likely expenses to arrive at his pro forma figure as a net operating income of $240,000. Now, based on that, the seller is seeking $3.2 million, reflecting a capitalization rate of 7.5%, which is also a little aggressive. So, therefore, in turn, you've taken the seller's actual figures and adjusted them to arrive at your present-day net operating income of $198,000. And then after realistic projections for the next 12 months, you arrive at a pro forma figure of $215,000 per annum, considerably less than his $240,000. Now, based on that figure, you would be prepared to purchase the property at $2.8 million, representing capitalization rate of 7.7, which is more in line with the current market.
How does the selling agent present this to you?
Well, I find the selling agents tend to adopt what I would say is a warped sense of logic. I mean, what they'll always do is gloss over any currently low-rent tenancies by painting the picture that this is just a great opportunity for you to boost the net operating income from the property. And in trying to convince you as to the seller's pro forma figures, the agent will claim that the increased net operating income will be easy to achieve. I mean, regardless of why the property is currently underperforming, whether it's poor management, recent tenancy changes or whatever, the seller wants you to pay a premium and overlook any negatives based upon purely his or her future projections?
Presumably, a naive buyer might see the opportunity for quick profit and end up overpaying for the property.
Well, that's always possible. However, your response should simply be to laugh and ask, if it's that easy, then why haven't you already implemented these rental increases?
Well, that certainly makes sense. And thank you once again for making all of this a lot clearer.
Well, it was my pleasure.